Welcome to the UGA BCM podcast, a part of the Baptist Collegiate Ministries located on the campus of the University of Georgia. For more information about us or to learn how to get involved, follow us on Instagram at UGABCM and find us online at UGABCM.org. We hope you enjoy today's episode.
Hey everyone, I'm Jerry Johnson, and thank you for tuning into the podcast of the UGA BCM. Today in our devotion, I want to talk a little bit about how you define yourself. Yogi Berra once quipped, "If you don't know where you're going, you'll end up someplace else." But really, how do you go about determining who you are and who you even want to be? John 1, 12 through 13 says, "But to all who receive him, who believed in his name, he, Jesus, gave the right to become children of God, who are born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, but nor of the will of man, but of God." A lot of talk today about living out your best life. Sometimes that can get us in bad places. When my wife and I first got married, we bought a small house, but we only lived in that house for less than a year when we moved to Columbus, Georgia, where we found a house we bought, and we looked at the payments, and we saw that, boy, we could pay off this house in 30 years, and then we looked at it again. We said, well, we could probably afford the payments as a small house, paid it off in 15 years, and we looked once again, and we said, you know, if we did right, we just, you know, saved our money and did right, we could pay off this house in 7 years. And so our first real house, we paid off in 7 years. Well, we were going to, we had a lot of friends who were doctors and lawyers and people who made a lot more money than us. And we would spend a lot of time at their houses, and we'd start looking and said, boy, compared to their house, our house is pretty modest. And boy, wouldn't it be nice to have this house of our dreams? And we would go through neighborhoods, big neighborhoods around us. And we found this one house. And just out of curiosity, we decided we'd check in, see how much it cost and whether we could afford it. And of course, with the down payment of the entire price of that house we had paid off, all the realtors said, oh, no, you can afford this house and even something more. So we stretched ourselves. Daniel was just being born at that time. We stretched ourselves to be able to pour into this house and to own this great big monstrosity of a house just for my wife and I and our small son. And which means that Leslie had to work full time and really not slack up at all in her working to add to my pay to be able to afford this house. And quickly, what was the house of our dreams became the house of our nightmares, because we thought that having that house would define us in a different way, in a better way somehow. But immediately we felt like, man, we don't belong in this neighborhood. Most of the other people in there either had lawn services taking care of it or were retired. And we never kept our house up to the standard of the rest of the people in our neighborhood. And anyway, it became the house of our nightmares. And it took us a full year to sell that house after we decided we were going to move from Columbus to Statesboro, Georgia, and to work at Georgia Southern University. And so I learned a valuable lesson that having any kind of stuff define you is a big mistake. Now, we all want to live our best lives, but very few of us even know how that might possibly look. As a matter of fact, as a believer, I don't think that we're able to determine what that is for ourselves. We don't have the perspective or the understanding to even know what is even best for us, because we are masters of self-deception, and the enemy, Satan, is constantly attempting to distract and tear us down. But we do have, if we have received the gift of abundant life through faith in Christ, the resources of one who does have that perspective. God made you and me for something more. God and the Holy Spirit desires to move in us to live that best life if we're willing to surrender and allow him to lead, to give us the abundant life and the purpose and the meaning that we were made for, to define what that even means. So today I want to ask the question, what defines you? Kierkegaard says that sin is anything that defines you that is not God. So it matters a whole lot how he defines us. Kierkegaard also goes on to say, be that self which one truly is. Once you label me, you negate me. Face the facts of being what you are, for that is what changes who you are. In John 2, 23 and 25, in the New Living Translation of the Bible, it says, because of the miraculous signs Jesus did in Jerusalem at the Passover celebration, many began to trust in him. But Jesus didn't trust them because he knew all about people. No one needed to tell him about human nature, for he knew what was in each person's heart. We need to face the facts of being what you are, because that changes how we look at things. There's nothing more dangerous, Kierkegaard says, for someone, nothing more paralyzing than a kind of isolating fixation on yourself, in which world history, human life, society, in short, everything disappears, and an egotistical circle one constantly sees on one's own navel. Too often we want the things of God. We want those good things, the right things, the moral things of God even, because we reason that will allow us to have a better life. But it's not enough for us to simply make sure our lives conform to the social mores. These can be fickle and change, and we could actually end up doing more harm than good. Jesus was constantly calling out the religious for missing the heart of God. We need to cultivate hope and patience and devotion and above all love, but we also need to be vigilant about our capacity for self-deception and be prepared to suffer for love and for our ultimate spiritual identity. It's been said also that what defines us is our relationships. That's certainly true when we put God into this equation. Christ died for you and me, for us to have a relationship with our Heavenly Father, and to set us up to be able to have a right relationship with one another. Most of you who listen today have met with some success. You've held positions of leadership. You've succeeded academically. You've held a job. You've been popular. You've been given a whole lot. You've played sports. You live a pretty nice life. But remember, your worth is not defined by these things. It's defined by God. And he says you're special. You are worth all the effort it took to make this world. You are worth the sacrifice of his son. You are worth the diligence it took to produce the Bible, and you're worth every event that has shaped his work since the beginning of time. God created us, and he called us good. You're valuable because God says so, and out of his loving nature, you were created more. You were created for so much more. In a very real way, your worth is a reflection of the purposes for which you were created. For you to live a life reflecting God's worthiness and for his eternal purposes in the world and for your good. Your worth is a reflection of the only one truly worthy to judge and to give worth, because he's totally worthy even when we fail over and over again. Even the word worship comes from the word worth. We give God worth above all else. It's a relationship to God and his valuing of you that gives value to you and all that you do. But our relationship with God has to be defined on his terms, because he has ownership of the past, the present, and the future of your life. God is Lord over all, even when we forget that or we don't believe it. God is faithful to forgive a genuine heart, give a willing servant, and uphold the promises that he makes to those who will faithfully endure. We can trust in the one who doesn't change, cannot lie, whose mercy is everlasting, and whose truth endures to all generations, as it says in Psalms 105. Knowing that we are God's children, once we have that relationship with Christ, we've repented of our sins, trusted that Jesus came, was killed, and was rose again, that we are created for his purposes. That changes things. What we think of ourselves, that you are awesome because God is awesome in you. What we think of our neighbors, how we treat one another, and what we think about the world and how we treat our world. And finally, and essentially, how we think of God and what gives us joy and hope, and even how we define love. All those things are essential. Let me tell you, let me just close with a final story. I was in Bar Harbor, Maine, my wife and I, and we were admiring, everybody on the docks were admiring this great big yacht. And there was this guy on the yacht with his little captain's hat. He had his blue blazer on with the little, you could even see it from the harbor, how big this blazer was, the emblem on it, this yacht club I guess he was a part of. And he was just strutting around, proud of this yacht that he had. And we were all oohing and aahing over it because of how, boy, what an important guy, what an amazing yacht that he has. And then all of a sudden, into the harbor comes this bigger yacht and parks right next to this guy. And so this guy is now in the shadow of this great big yacht. And it looked like it was a balloon that somebody stuck a pin into. And this guy just physically deflated and walked back inside his yacht. Because there's always going to be a bigger boat, folks. If we compare ourselves with anything other than what God has purposed us to be and to do in the world, you're going to find there's always a bigger job. There's a better boat. There's a bigger house. There's more money. There's somebody else that's going to have something more than you. And you're going to pale in comparison. But if you understand yourself as the child of God, the one who owns the world, how you can't get better than that. You are a prince or a princess of the King. I hope you know that today. I hope you'll, if you have more questions about that, you'll call Tommy or myself. Our information is in the podcast notes. Thanks for listening today. Can I pray for you? Lord, I pray that you'll teach us how to become your children and to live a life full of purpose and meaning and joy and not let the lies of Satan disturb us. Help us not to convince ourselves that we're something that we are not apart from God. Lord, help us to have that at the central core of our understanding of who we are. Thank you, Lord, that you allow us to be your children. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Go Dawgs. Thanks for tuning in.
We hope you enjoyed today's episode of the UGA BCM podcast. Follow us on Instagram at UGABCM and visit us online at UGABCM.org to find more information about us. We'll see you next time.